conciliator or even labor courts. And naturally everything requires money. Communication through unions must occur if unions are there. Unions have their own agendas. Many times they are not bothered much straight away for the productivity of the hospital or the industry where they are there. So their agenda may not be consistent with organization's goals many times. They want that their union should remain for a longer time. The chairman and secretary wants that their post should not be taken over by somebody else. So gradually they want to play a lot of politics and try to manipulate things whereby they can remain for a longer time as union representatives, which is harmful to the organization as a whole. And hence, usually the organizations try to avoid unionism to occur. So what is the role of department manager in unions? Now, what is their role before the union is formed? And what is their role after the union is formed? Before the union is formed, if the department managers create and maintain the work environment in which the workers do not feel that the union is necessary. Now, we have seen what are the reasons why the workers feel that the union is necessary. One thing, they feel that they are not listened to. Second thing, they feel that they are not getting what they deserve, or their wage and salary structure is not good enough to take care of their requirement of the family's needs. So if the department manager tries to convince the top management that without asking or without them becoming member of the union and doing collective bargaining and then only increasing the salary, gradually as the inflation increases, before the worker asks if you are going to increase their salaries, if you keep some forums whereby they are listened to, if you have got a grievance redressal procedure which is friendly to the labor class, probably they will feel that no need of joining the union. So good working conditions, as far as possible, whatever the hazards are there in the industry or in the hospital, one should identify and try to see to it that these hazards are prevented, which will lead to good working conditions. The temperature should be proper, suitable to the employee. There should not be any noise hazard. There should not be any vibration hazard, electrical hazards, tripping hazards by keeping good housekeeping. Fair salary. Active listening. Whenever somebody comes with a problem, if the department manager is keen to understand his problems, he listens actively. That means he tries to sit in a separate room, tries to ask him what's your problem, let him narrate his problem in detail, tries to paraphrase the sentences, making him understand better. And there is open communication in which the workers will feel that we are listened to, our problems are being solved by the management to the best possible way, and then they don't feel that they should join the union. Early organizing, that is, they should have a caring attitude, and once whatever they have promised to the labor, if it is implemented as early as possible, then and consistently it occurs, then they become trustworthy, and such supervisors may prevent employees to seek unionism. Financial pressures, mergers and proliferations of healthcare system can lead to job insecurity, and hence usually people are going to join union. So as far as possible, try to avoid more of mergers and acquisitions, or if you are doing that, announce it publicly to all your labor class that nobody's job will be jeopardized. So let's understand what are the various disputes which may occur in hospitals. it can be interpersonal relationships disputes among the workers themselves or the workers and the supervisor, workers and the manager, etc. The clash of persona interest, personal interest lead to disputes. Everybody has got their own interest. If the interest of one person is clashing with somebody else's, and naturally one person's requirement will be fulfilled, then there are going to be disputes. So if the disputes occur, how it is resolved many times in case of labor, if a strong union is there and if the management is not doing much in resolution of these disputes amicably, gradually the mental pressure increases among these people and they are going to go for either strike or gherao or picketing. Now, what's the difference between the two? Let's understand. Strike is something where the workers just don't come to work. So it is total stoppage or cessation of the work. What is gherao? When the CEO of the hospital or medical director is surrounded by the workers and union representatives and he is not allowed to go out of the hospital, he is gherao till he promises what is requirement of the workers. Picketing is something where they stand at the gate of the hospital, they don't allow the employees to enter the hospital, and that's how they dissuade the employees from reporting to work at the gate of the hospital. Boycott is where they say that this hospital is not good, they are not taking care of their employees, one should not take services from this hospital. So they publicly announce this in newspapers, they stand outside the hospital and tell the patients not to go inside also. So they boycott. On the other hand, these are all the activities normally done by the labor and the union. On the other hand, at times, when the management doesn't want to bow down to the requirements or the demands made by the workers and the union members, some of the managers will say that, okay, forget it, we don't want to give, let us close down the hospital. So that there is a lot of mental pressure on the workers to come to terms, because finally they will starve, they are not going to get the salary and the family members will also suffer. So gradually, how many days they can go on like this? So at times the management says that we want to put a lock on this hospital, we don't want to operate this hospital. So that's lockout. And ultimately, whether it is a strike, gherao, lockout, whatever it is, ultimately it is going to hamper the efficient services to the patients and it is going to mar the image of the hospital to a large extent. So let's understand what are the various causes for which such disputes are normally occurring. One is salary. Most important, money. Everybody wants more and more money to take care of their family members. People require a better luxurious life when they see outside lot of consumerism is increasing. Secondly, inflation is increasing. Their consumer goods price is going up. So naturally, unless there is a salary rise going on periodically, the worker cannot meet the two ends for their survival and hence they need higher salary. So for that, at times they are going to go and fight for their wage and salary with the management and the dispute occurs. Retrenchment. If the management tells that we want to remove some of the people because we don't have adequate business for this particular departments and some of the workers are retrenched, then also the union will come forward and say that you can't do that, you have to absorb them in some other departments or the dispute will occur. Then there are working conditions and hours of work. As we know, there are various hazards in hospitals. Physical hazards can be in the form of hot, humid conditions where they are working. If they don't have sufficient fans, sufficient exhaust fans, sufficient places where AC is there, or if they are supposed to stand and work all the time, they don't have sitting arrangement, if the they don't have adequate number of taps for drinking water, no latrines given to them, no separate restrooms for male and female employees, what will happen? Ultimately, the working conditions are such where a lot of stink is there, odor is there, the chemicals, gases are there. So naturally, or the housekeeping is not maintained, lot of cobwebs, the tripping hazards are there, mechanical failures can occur of the equipment, and that is going to hamper the work of all the employees. So working conditions and hours of work. As we know, in hospitals it's an emergency situation, multiple number of patients may come and limited number of employees are there, so they have to overwork, the number of hours go on extending at times, they cannot leave a serious patient and say that my time is over and now I want to go, I am not going to stay beyond this. So the number of hours are increasing, they are working under time pressure, so all these conditions can lead to the turmoil in the mind of the worker if they are not suitably compensated, and of course the fatigue will be there, burnout can be there, and hence they can go on strike or they can just remain absent. Partial treatment by supervisors. When the supervisors are favoring certain workers, giving them some more concessions to go early, and the burden is put on other workers to finish their work also, or if they are asked for some personal work and partiality is there regarding the duty distribution in the form of some people are told to do third shift all the time, some people are told to do second shift all the time, while some people have got the advantage of working 9 to 10 months out of the year only during first shift and all. It should be given to all in a proper rotation way. But then favoritism occurs due to politics, office politics and various other things, and in that case workers may get perturbed to such an extent that they may approach union, and then it will lead to disputes. Absence of grievance procedures. In certain hospitals they do not have any grievance procedure redressal machinery, so that whenever a worker has got some grievance or some problem, he cannot go anywhere. Nobody is there to listen to these problems. And if the supervisor says, sorry, I cannot do anything about it because my higher managers are not ready to do that, that means there is an end. So naturally they are going to go to union and fight for their rights, and the dispute will occur. Now, once we have understood regarding disputes in hospitals, let's go for a very important concept in industrial relations, and that is collective bargaining. What does it mean? What is the meaning and concept of collective bargaining? Collective bargaining has been defined as a process of discussion and negotiation between two parties, one or both of whom is a group of persons acting in concert. They are working together to arrive at a solution. The resulting bargain is an understanding as to the terms and conditions under which a continuing service is to be performed. That means after the bargain is over, you arrive at understanding among both the parties how we are going to continue the service in future, under what terms and conditions it is going to be done. More specifically, collective bargaining is a procedure by which employers and the group of employees agree upon the conditions of work, for example, wages to be given to the employees, the hours of work, how many hours per day a person is going to work, when he is going to get the holiday per week, leave, how many sick leave, earned leave, the casual leave, etc. will be given, what will be the amount of gratuity they will get when they retire or if they resign, and what are the terms and conditions for that, then how much bonus a person will get, and various allowances in the form of HRA, city compensatory allowance, conveyance allowance, etc., etc., how much they will get, and what are the terms and conditions for that. It is argued that collective bargaining is primarily political rather than an economic process. It's a power relationship between trade union and management. It will depend on how strong is the trade union and how strong is the management. Based on the political power ratio, the negotiation will be done between the two, and the solution or the terms and conditions will be arrived at the end of this bargaining process. The agreement arrived is a compromise statement or settlement of power conflicts. It is joint administration synonymous with joint management. It's a kind of joint administration with the union and the management, which is synonymous with joint management, one can say. How to define collective bargaining? It's an agreement under which the organization of workers, that is union, or if the recognized union is not there, two or three or five workers have been chosen by the workforce who become representative of these workforce and who are going to go for the negotiation to be done with the management regarding their wage, their leave, bonus, gratuity, etc. So, it's an agreement under which the organization of workers and employers collectively undertake to resolve their existing or future differences with or without the assistance of a third party. Usually between union and management it is good enough, but sometimes they may require the involvement of a third party to settle some of the disputes between the two while negotiating. So, what are the prerequisites of a good collective bargain process? A union should be truly representative and a strong union. Then only they have got enough power to really get good amount of wage, proper salary, etc. for their workers. Otherwise, if the management is very powerful, the union is going to be bought by the management, or they do not have much voice, they do not have sufficient political base. In that case, whatever management says, they will have to agree to that. And finally, management is going to exploit the workers to a large extent. And hence, if we want to have a proper good collective bargaining, one has to see to it that the truly representative, who really represent the requirements of all the workers, who are not going only for their personal agenda, and at the same time it should be a strong union with good political power base. At the same time, the management should be a progressive management where they can understand the requirement of their employees, and they are more of a welfare motto, as we have seen in case of Tata, where initially when they started the TISCO in Jamshedpur and all, and how beautifully they have made that city and how much pains they have taken to take into consideration the requirement of all their employees there. So, it should be a progressive management. Absence of any external pressure. There should not be any political pressure coming up from the management side or from the union side. If it's a multinational company, at times the pressure may come from America or Europe, who is the main company there. Similarly, if the union is highly politicized, which has got a national body also for that political party, in that case they may be pressurized right from Delhi. So, there should be absence of any external pressure on both the sides. Parity of strength should be there on the part of trade union as well as management. Both should be equally powerful. Otherwise, naturally the game will be those who are more powerful, they will dictate the terms. Delegation of authority to the officers involved in negotiation. Well, the top management, the chairman of the company is never going to come for a collective bargaining negotiation. He is going to delegate this to some of the higher managers, maybe in general manager, cadre, or at the most VP level. Similarly, every time the president of the union need not be there, the president, secretary may be there, sometimes they may not be there in the throughout the process, and even the person from political party to which this union is affiliated comes in the final negotiations. But ultimately, whoever has been kept as a representative of union and the representative of the management, they should have enough authority to arrive at decisions to be taken for this. You cannot say that, okay, I have sent this general manager today, but final decision will be of the chairman only. So whatever he has discussed, ultimately if the chairman agrees to that, then only it will be implemented. So delegation of authority to the officers involved in negotiation should be absolute, and fact-finding approach should be there on both the parties rather than fault-finding. If they start finding faults with each other, then they are going to be in more conflicts and they are going to go in for strike and lockouts and things like that. An amicable solution cannot be arrived at in collective bargaining negotiation. So these are some of the prerequisites of collective bargaining. So before starting this, one should draft a comprehensive document which should incorporate all the points. One is, what is the purpose and what is the scope of settlement. So one should find out, say every 3 years normally the collective bargaining is done. So first you should delineate exactly what is the purpose of this, whether it is going to cover mainly the wage and salary and working conditions. The whole scope should be delineated, so it will be regarding working conditions, leave, bonus, and say 5 to 6 points or 10 points, whatever are there, that should be the scope of this. And then they are not supposed to discuss anything beyond that. So first you should have a draft statement of everything regarding, comprehensive document regarding the points that you are going to take into consideration. So what is the purpose and scope of settlement? What are the rights and responsibilities of the management as well as of the unions? That also should be delineated. What are the issues that are going to be handled in this? What are the interpretation clause? How we are going to interpret whatever has been arrived at? What are the termination clause? If this is not done, this will be terminated and flagged off for the time being. And basically there should be a problem solving attitude on both the parties, rather than becoming very arrogant, rather than becoming very adamant on certain points and then not budging. So let's understand what are the various functions of collective bargaining. One should establish the rules of the work place in, that is, the terms and conditions of the person working in the hospital. Say, what are the terms and conditions? Say, for gratuity, at least 5 years he should have worked. That's the terms and conditions to give gratuity. Provident fund, what will be the amount given and what will be the ceiling of the salary for that? You cannot equally give. You cannot say 10% of the basic should be cut for everybody. There has to be a ceiling. Beyond that, it cannot be cut, because finally equal amount is to be given by the employer also. So these are the terms and conditions which should be clearly established. Then one should determine the form of compensation. The compensation will be given under what all headings? Basic, BA, city compensatory allowance, HRA, some particular special allowance and all that. So the type of compensation to be given should be delineated clearly. So whether it's a salesman, then it can be some benefits for the over and above standards that they are selling and all that. So that also should be delineated clearly. There should be standardization of the compensation. It should be merit based. It should be same for all kinds of people and similar. Determining priorities on each side, on management side as well as on worker side, some priorities should be determined in advance. and then maintain, redesign the machinery of bargaining if required, interpretation by joint committee of workers and management representative. Executive, that is both management and trade union, should undertake to implement the agreement signed. Once they have arrived at the conclusion, it should be clearly mentioned each and every point in detail. They should go through it and then they are supposed to sign at the end of the full document. But then once they sign, it is binding on both the parties. They cannot say that under force I have signed, so we are not going to follow this, or after 6 months the conditions have changed, now we are not going to follow this. It has to be followed for 3 years till the next collective bargaining occurs.